Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on 2 days in the life of Jesus was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
Man, the Lord's wanting to do bigger things than what we've ever dreamed of. We limit God by our small thinking. In the name of Jesus, I am not going to get off the subject. But let me just give a real quick testimony. I won't spend much time on this. But somebody may have heard this. In 2002, January the 31st, 2002, the Lord told me I was limiting Him by my small thinking. And I mean, we had doubled in 2 years. We had gone on television. Our income had doubled. The number of people that we reached had doubled. Everything had doubled. And we had increased a lot. And I thought that I was trusting God and reaching out there. And God told me I was limiting Him by my small thinking. It's a long story, but I got hold of it. I told my staff, I said, I don't know how long it takes, a month, a year, 2 years, but I'm going to change the way I'm believing, and I am going to take the limits off of God. That has been 8 years ago. And did you know at that time we had less than 30 employees? Now we have 200 employees. We were reaching approximately 1-2% of the U.S. population. Now we reach 2.2 billion people with the gospel truth. Our Bible school was less than 100 people. Now, counting all of the Bible schools and stuff and correspondence, we're reaching thousands of people. There's about 1,000 people in all of our Bible schools, about 1,000 people in correspondence and online. So we're reaching thousands of people. All of this has happened in 8 years because I quit limiting God. And I tell you what, I really believe that this isn't something that is peculiar to me. I think most of us get to feeling like we're imposing on God and we're asking something too big for God. The disciples were about to drown, and I'm sure they thought this was a terrible situation, a hard one, even for God. And here Jesus just comes walking on the water. No big deal. He would have walked right by them. No problem. Man, that's awesome. That really ministers to me. I don't know if that helps you, but I've gone back to this a lot of times when I feel overwhelmed. I just go back to this, and it reminds me that the Lord's not, you know, in heaven wringing His hands wondering, how am I going to pull this one off? It's not a problem to God. No big deal. So they saw Him walking on the water. They cried out for fear. And in verse 27, He straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I touched on that briefly last night. That if He really wanted to just keep them from being afraid and be of good cheer, why didn't He solve the problem, stop the storm? It's because there has to be some response of faith on our part. God only moves through faith. It takes faith. Ephesians 3:20, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The word according to means to the proportion of or to the degree of the power that works in us. No faith working in us, God cannot do anything. And that is just a radical concept to a lot of people. They think God moves independent of people, but that's not so. God always, always, always has to have a person that He flows through. God does not sovereignly control and do things. And this is the reason that we see things in such a mess is because there's so few people that are letting the power of God work in them. It's God's will for every person to be healed, but He has to have somebody that will stand up and proclaim this truth and go out and lay hands on them. He told us to heal the sick. He didn't tell us to pray for the healing of the sick and ask God to do it. He told us, Matthew 10:8, you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. It's a command. And the problem isn't that God doesn't want to heal people. The problem is there's so few people who will take their authority and stand up boldly and say, cancer's no problem, no big deal. Cancer in the name of Jesus, be dead, get out of this person. Amen? That's the problem. We have to take our authority. And so He told them to be of good cheer, trying to solicit a response of faith because He wouldn't have been able to move in their behalf if there hadn't have been a positive response. And then look at this in verse 28. It says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Man, there is a lot in that verse. Let me just point out, there were 12 people in that boat. Only one of them desired to do what Jesus did. Do you know what? Every one of them could have asked, can I walk on the water? Lord, bid me come unto you on the water. Peter's the only one. And you know, I believe that this is pretty typical. 1 out of 12 Christians. That's somewhere around, what would that be? 7-8%. 8% of Christians really want to do something miraculous and believe that they're going to do something that is just totally out there beyond the realm of natural. Most Christians are trying to play it too safe. They're afraid to get out of the boat. And yet, look at it this way. The scripture says here that the boat was full, that they were sinking, they were drowning. They said, save us, we perish. You know, if you really sit down and think about it, what was the difference between getting out there and walking on the water and being in the boat? The boat was full of water. It was going down. There was very little difference. There was really very little to lose. If they stayed there and if nothing supernatural happened, they were going to drown. And yet people are afraid to get out of a drowning boat and try and walk on the water. You know, if you stop and make a comparison here, this world is hurting. People are miserable. People are depressed. They have to take pills to go to bed and pills to wake up. And they're discouraged and they're fearful and the world is just drowning. And yet people are afraid to be different. They're afraid not to be like everybody else. They're afraid of what somebody will say about them. They're afraid to be different, and yet the world is drowning. The world is miserable. Being normal is grossly overrated. All normal is that you aren't the best and you aren't the worst. You're just mediocre. You know what? God didn't make any of us to be normal. Every one of us should be supernatural. If you aren't supernatural, you're superficial. You've been born again. You've got the supernatural power of God. There ought to be something different about you. People ought to be able to look at you and say, how is it that you are always rejoicing, even when something goes wrong in your life? How come that when everybody else is in a recession, you're blessed? You know, our income, we have just exploded. We're doing all of this expansion and got this huge program going in a quote-unquote recession. This is a great time for believers to be doing things. We got property for about 25% of what it's worth because the world is operating in fear. This is when you ought to be buying. This, because it'll turn around. I said this back in 2008 before we had any signs of anything. When they were talking about it's the worst depression since the Great Depression, which was a lie. It's not true. The 80s, we had about, I think it was 12% unemployment. They compare all of this to the Great Depression. Did you know that there was over 50% foreclosure rate? And the worst foreclosure rate that there has been during this depression has been less than 6%. 50% compared to 6%, and people are making comparisons. It's scare-tastic. It's people trying to grab control and push their socialist agenda and do all kinds of things. I guarantee you, I said nearly 2 years ago that this thing is a crock. I'm not saying that there aren't some problems, and there needs to be a withdrawal from those policies. You give people no interest in things, and you have them go for 5 years and pay nothing on the principal and just make the entrance payments. That's a train wreck waiting to happen. It violates all of the principles of the Word of God. That bubble needs to be popped. I'm not saying that there hasn't been some adjustments and things, but it's not the way that it's been presented. We've been lied to. Things aren't that bad. During a recession, when everybody else is talking about how bad it is, man, Christians ought to be believing God and buying up things, because I guarantee you it'll come back around and you will be blessed. You know, when we bought this property, Our board looked at it and stuff, and they said, you know what? This is a no-brainer. Even if you never build on that, buy it, and in 5 years, sell it for $15 million profit. You're ahead. Amen. We had a banker come look at it, and he didn't even look at all the property. He looked at the lodge, and he says, this lodge is worth what they're asking. He says, tell them, if they don't buy it, I'll buy it. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to go through this. Jamie and I, since the recession hit, have made 61% profit in the stock market. It's gone down 50%, and we've made 61% profit. Some of you say, how do you do that? Who's your broker? It's God. I'm just saying that, you know what, we need to not be afraid to be different and do something different than everybody else. Peter could have just sat there in the boat and have hung on to the security of that boat, and yet it was sinking. And I'm sure all of the other apostles thought, you're crazy to get out of this boat. They were drowning. And yet they're calling him crazy. Tell me who's crazy. Man, if you want to walk on the water, you're going to have to get out of the boat. And yet everybody's afraid to get out of the boat. Everybody's afraid to do anything different. We want to be just like everybody else and be accepted. I'm telling you, if you are going to see the supernatural power of God in your life, somebody is going to consider you weird. Somebody is going to look at you and you're going to be criticized. It'll cost you family. And you know, God will bring things around. My family thought that I actually went insane. But you know, now my family is all on my side, and they are, my mother, it was just amazing how she came around and supported me. And it took 20 years, but you know what? It worked. God will pull you through if you can stay in the pool.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on 2 days in the life of Jesus. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM240C for CD or RM240D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries to help support this radio program and all of the other outreaches. You know, you could visit our website and learn a lot more about what's happening, but this ministry is impacting the world. There is much more than just this radio broadcast. We have a television program that reaches 2.2 billion people potential around the world. 15 Bible colleges. There's a lot of things happening. But you know, it takes a lot of money, especially when we give our materials away to those people who are in need. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you'd like to see it continue and be a blessing to someone else, please pray about partnership and then call us at 719-635-1111 and say you'd like to become a partner.